Hello and welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology module on macronutrients. So this video is going to give you an overview of really what macronutrients are and how they're important in your assessment of your client's health and in your protocols. I want to make sure that you understand what are macronutrients versus micronutrients. Our next module, we'll talk about micronutrients. So macronutrients are those nutrients that we need to be taking into the body on a regular basis in relatively large quantities. So those include things like water, protein, carbohydrates, and fats. On the other hand, the micronutrients are those we need in very small amounts, like our vitamins and our minerals. We even go so far as to classify our vitamins and minerals in terms of trace ones or main ones. But we'll get into that in the next module. So macronutrients are those biggies, right? You need a lot of them. You don't just eat a little bit of protein. You need gram-sized portions of protein. Whereas the micronutrients, we need either milligram-sized portions or microgram-sized portions. So let's dig in and talk a little bit more about those guys. And before we begin, of course, whenever you're dealing with talking to people about their nutrition, their nutrients, their macronutrients, their micronutrients, if you're assessing that they have deficiencies or excesses, you're not diagnosing, you're not treating, you are simply educating people about the assessments that you do. And it never replaces the one-on-one care with the medical practitioner. So let's look at our primary macronutrients. Well, one that is often overlooked and not called a macronutrient, but I believe it's the biggest one, is water. Water is actually the macronutrient that we need in the largest quantity and that we can go the shortest length of time without. Depending on the size of the person that you're dealing with and how much extra fat and nutrients they have on their body, they can go quite a while without food. They may be kicking and screaming about it, but they can go a long time without food. But water is pretty limited. I think 4 or 5 days is about the longest you can go without water. Somebody might be able to push the limit a little bit longer than that, but water we need a lot of. And water is very important for the movement of fluids around the body. So water makes up a good part of the blood. That's part what transports the nutrients. Water is used for diluting the toxins that are set to be escaping from the body. Water is important for the moisture that we feel. Water is important for our voice. We need to have enough water lubrication. We need to have enough lubrication of our lungs. And it's more than just water, but water forms a big basis of it. So water actually constitutes, some say 50%, some say 80% of the body. When I've done body composition analysis, I usually find that people are somewhere in the 50 to 60% water. So that's a lot. That's a big percentage of your body. So it stands to reason that it's really important to pay attention to the quantity and the quality of the water that your clients are drinking. And sometimes the problems that they're coming in to see you about are really dehydration. There's a really good book. It's called You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty. And it was written by an MD who just found that so many conditions were overcome by hydrating people. In case you haven't realized it, we will go into way more detail about water in further parts down in the module. The picture I've put on the page is a depiction of a balance between carbohydrates, protein, and fat. But there's a lot of discrepancy between one authority to the next about what percentage should be protein, what percentage should be fat, what percentage should be carbohydrate. And it also varies from person to person. So one of your jobs in working with your clients to optimize their health is to help them to figure out what is their ideal distribution between the main macronutrients, fat, protein, and carbohydrates. Some people thrive on a higher carbohydrate diet. Some people thrive on a high protein diet. Some people thrive on a high fat diet. And some people thrive on a balance. When you look at some of the diets, like an extreme on the high carbohydrate end is the 80-10-10. 80% carbohydrate, 10% protein, 10% fat. And some people thrive on that diet. Some people crash and burn on that diet. On the other extreme is the ketogenic diet. The ketogenic diet is very high in fat, almost no carbohydrate, under 100 grams, and in many cases below 50 grams of carbohydrate in the diet. And if you want to think about that in terms of caloric intake, a gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. So 50 grams of carbohydrate is 200 calories, and 100 grams is 400 calories. Now, if the average person needs somewhere between, let's say, 1,500 and 2,000 calories, unless they're pregnant, nursing, or athletic, probably that's the right range. That's a very small percentage. That's about 20% or 10% carbohydrate. That's the other extreme. And then a large percentage of a ketogenic diet is fat, and then a balance of protein, somewhere between 20 and 30% protein. If you look at something like the Zone diet, they propose, I think it's 30-30-40. So 40% carbohydrate, 30% protein, 30% fat. Okay. And so it just varies. And you're going to find some people who say, oh, I went on this Zone diet and I crashed and burned. And other people say, I went on it and I did great. So it's up to you to help them to find what the great balance is for them. So it's really important when you're looking at somebody's dietary intake to assess not just the quantity of their macronutrients, but the quality. So as we go through, we have a section on each of these, fat, protein, and carbohydrate. And we'll go through what's the function of each of these. What are the deficiency signs if someone is short? What are the signs of excess? What are the sources? What are the food sources and the best food sources of these various macronutrients? And ideally, we want whole foods, right? We don't want people eating processed foods. And we'll talk about this in the fat module, is that a lot of people will think that, you know, processed foods are no good. Don't eat white flour or white rice, but they'll eat oil. And oil is actually a processed food, right? It's just the fat extracted from a whole food, the fat extracted from an olive, the fat extracted from coconut, the fat extracted from whatever else is used, safflower, sunflower, sesame, right? But it's really just fat. So there are some therapeutic uses for fat. And there are times when people can absorb better, for example, in, you know, coconut oil, if the person has an impaired fat digestion, the person can actually do that without having to use bile. And it's much easier on the digestion to just use the fat if the person needs the extra fat, say therapeutically, like in the case of Alzheimer's or something. Okay. Protein, we really see, rarely see processed or denatured. Denatured we may see. But protein is usually eaten as a whole food, you know, in meats or in beans or even vegetables are a huge source of protein. And we'll look at that, but we don't really see refined protein, except in the case of single amino acids. So that would be a refined food, but that's used more like a supplement to help someone when they're short or they've had a particular condition that makes them need more. So we'll go into more details on that. And then with carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates are rampant in the diet and they're damaging in the diet. And we'll take a look at that. All right. So we'll see you on the next video.